Well, amen. Let's take our Bibles over to 1 John chapter number 4. While you're turning there. 1 John chapter number 4, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. So we're over halfway through the book of 1 John, and talking about, just entitled this, Confidence Through Discernment. And it's interesting. We'll read the text. It's interesting, you know, the way that I typically preach, I just go through books. And so Sunday mornings, we're going through Exodus. Sunday afternoons, going through 1 John right now. In Sunday school, we have some series going usually. And then on Wednesday nights, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And it's interesting when you do that, how many times certain things just continuously come up in the Bible. And that's because there's a lot about this stuff in the Bible. And so tonight, just having discernment, being able to spot a false teacher is very important. It's very important actually to John as well. We're in chapter 4, but if you'll remember back in chapter number 2, John already dealt with a lot of this. And so if you will, just turn back to chapter 2. We'll start there and then we'll read our text in chapter number 4. But really the idea I think that we have in chapter 4 is not only do we need to have discernment about these things, but we need to be confident in what we believe and not shy away from, what do they say, calling a spade, right? If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's false, it's false. And our world doesn't like when you call something that's false, false. But do we care more about what God wants or what the world wants? Is kind of where you have to get. So, but like, look in 1 John there, look back to chapter number 2. We could go all the way back, really to the beginning of the chapter. We're going to start in verse number 18, okay, chapter 2, 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. It's kind of funny what John's kind of saying there is like everyone wants to talk about end times and the Antichrist coming, but for believers, guess what? You won't have to deal with him. He's going to come in the tribulation period. You'll be in heaven if you're a believer today. But you do have to deal with them now. The spirit of Antichrist and the teaching of Antichrist is here already, is what he said. Whereby we know this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So he's talking about these false teachers. Now he says in verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. He's saying if you're a believer in Christ, there's someone in you, the unction from the Holy One, that can help you discern and separate truth from falsehood. He goes on to say, I have not written you because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. But who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and Son. Now go to chapter 4, because really our text is in chapter 4. I just wanted to show you that John has already dealt with this, and now he's bringing it up again just in this short little book. And I know we've already dealt with this out of the book of Exodus, as there were some that withstood Moses, and there were, as Moses did the miracles God gave, there were also false miracles done. And the attempt was to deceive. I also know on Wednesday nights, as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to get to chapter number 7, where the Lord tells them to beware of false prophets. And so it's something that's just going to keep coming up. And I'll just tell you, at least for me, it's not intentional. It's just when you look at books of the Bible, this is a topic that comes up. I don't think God wants us to be deceived. I think it's just that simple. And so there's warnings all over the place about having some spiritual discernment. So now, our text tonight, 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your word, and I pray tonight you give us clarity. Lord, help me to have a focus and a clarity from you, Lord, just to preach the message that you've given. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be discerning Christians, people who are able to understand when something's not lining up. And Father, to call it out. Lord, to live the way you want us to live, regardless of the worldly pressures around us. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us tonight in this afternoon service. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't think it's any secret. Since the beginning of time, Satan has battled with God and God's truth, and he's used deception to do it. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. That's what he did. He questioned God's word, and he put false truths for truths. And it's no different today in the New Testament age. In fact, even before our day, even in Jesus' time, there were false teachers. As soon as the apostles got a hold of doctrine and they began to teach what Christ had given them, there arose false teachers. Insomuch that if you want to turn one page to the right, look at the little book of Jude. Jude warned about this even in their time. Verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So he says a couple things there. He's referring to the common salvation. And so there's only one way that a person can get saved. We're all saved a common way. We're all saved the same way. We come to Jesus Christ, confessing our sin, believing on him. And he says, there's a thing about this common salvation. It's needful that I write about this and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. That means that you're going to diligently try, diligently fight to keep the faith that was first delivered or once delivered to the saints. Why is it so imperative that and needful that Jude write this? We'll look at verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ." So notice Jude has the same thought or parallel with John. One of the main problems of the false teacher is two things. One, number one, they're kind of hard to identify. But not only are they hard to identify, but they come in with a false teaching regarding Jesus Christ. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And in our day today, even just like it was in Paul's day or in John's day, which would have been, you know, somewhere around 90 AD or so, just like in those days today, and maybe even more so, we're very vulnerable to false teaching. It's everywhere. There's so many different influences on people and families today. You come into a town and there's all sorts of churches. There's different churches, and every church has a different standard of conduct and bylaws and beliefs. There are different denominations. And let me just go ahead and say, it says there in the very first line, "Believe not every spirit." Can I tell you, two churches that preach different things are not the same. That's just the way it is. They're not the same. If one church is preaching a gospel and the other church is preaching a different gospel, then those two churches aren't the same. I know there's a pressure in our world that, you know, everyone should just kind of get over the fact that we're different and kind of call it all the same. And you know, as long as you're going to church somewhere, that's okay. But that's not Bible. Not all churches that are the same. And so it's confusing maybe for some. Well, which one has got it right? There's a lot of influences on us, maybe through TV and radio, although maybe not so much anymore, but social media has made its influence, and you have the YouTube and the TikTok preachers, which I constantly preach against because I'm tired of having to correct those guys. Just to be real honest, it's very often I get someone coming up and they have an argument, and I get to talking about them. Before long, their argument is not coming from the scriptures, it's coming from some Yoohoo guy on TikTok. That I'm just like, hey, here, there's a stop button at the bottom there. If you'll push that, it'll solve a lot of your problems. You know, anyone these days can record themselves and become a teacher of the scripture. So we got to be very careful. There's so much, and honestly, we're inundated with Christian teachers and prophecy teachers and doctrinal teachers and such. And so we need some means of determining when something is false. I was thinking about the the Iron Dome that Israel has over there, and it's a really cool system, and I hear there's talks about us getting something similar, but that thing detects a threat, and when it detects a threat, then it sends up counter missiles to take out any rockets that were fired at them, and it's very, very, very effective. And I just feel like as Christians, we need something like that in our life, that when there's an overhead false truth coming in, that there be some indication this thing is wrong and we need to shoot it down. I was reading, it's been a couple years back, but I was reading about Pearl Harbor and the attacks that were there, and I don't have all the details written down here, but I remember reading about how radar was a fairly new thing back then, but I remember that on the radar, they actually saw the wave of planes coming, and they didn't know what to make of it. In fact, at some point, they decided that it must be some supplies planes coming in, that they were friendlies, and so they didn't do anything about it. Next thing you know, we have the Battle of Pearl Harbor, and just think about how different that day would have been had they recognized that threat. And I'm not here to point blame on anybody. I'm just saying that was a system that should have caught the threat coming in. I know when they start preaching about this stuff, there's this, hey, calm down, preacher, right? Just calm down. But here's the deal. I just see Satan attacking families left and right. And I just see people falling to the false truths left and right. And so, yes, there's something in a preacher that says, hey, over and over and over again, I'm going to warn you about false teachers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? We're in a battle that's much bigger than what we think it is. We wrestle against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The average Christian in 2024 walks around in some sort of spiritual slumber, not having any idea that there's a spiritual battle going on. And there's a lack of spiritual discernment in Christianity today, and too many are just falling into all the false stuff that is out there. So we keep bringing it up, and we keep preaching about it. We keep hoping that at some point we listen to the... Because God's given us all the tools. We have an iron dome. He's given us everything that we need. And John's reminding us of some of that today. So first of all, there just need to understand there's a reality of false influences. Verse 1, don't believe everything that you hear. Believe not every spirit. We can't welcome in everyone who wants to preach and teach. We can't do that. But before someone especially comes into our church and speaks, there's a pretty thorough process that I go through to make sure. And you know, it could be that people do pretty good in that process and they sneak in on you. But for the most part, try to only have people who preach and teach what is doctrinally sound and correct. Because there are, as John says, many false prophets gone out into the world. He identifies those prophets and teachers and the spirit behind them, and he calls it the spirit of Antichrist. He reminds us that Antichrist is coming, but he warns us that the spirit of Antichrist is already here working today. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Why do they depart from the faith? Listen, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So it's not just that there's Yahoo. Right? That's the right word. Yahoo. I think Yahoo's a drink, chocolate milk. Nothing wrong with Yahoo. Yahoo's, though, no. It's not just that there's, see, this is me, I get distracted and I can't remember. It's not just that there's Yahoo's, there's a spirit behind it. It's not just a person, it's not just a false teacher. There's a direction, there's a darkness, and there's a spirit behind them. And John is identifying that. He's like, no, it's their motives are not good. Try the spirits. Try them, test them, prove them. Paul tells the Thessalonian church, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So I want you to understand that there are lots of false prophets gone out into the world, and we're supposed to try the spirits. We're supposed to test and prove what we have heard. And it won't always be easy to spot them. Just like Paul tells the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, they're really good at looking right and looking good. And even quoting a couple of Bible verses here and there. And before long, you won't even know you're listening to a false preacher if you're not very discerning. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So we have to be discerning to identify false teachers because, they don't present themselves as false teachers. They don't say, "Well, listen, I don't believe the Bible, but I'm gonna quote some Bible and I'm gonna make you believe what I want to believe, even though it's not scriptural." They don't tell you that. No one would listen to them if they told you that. No, they use the scriptures, or rather, they abuse or twist the scriptures to make you think that they are of God. So we have to be discerning. We must try the spirits. Listen to this. We must get down to the source of the teaching. Get down to the source. When I was going through the master's program at West Coast, I had to write it just seemed like innumerable papers. Like every class, every week, every day, it's like you're just writing another paper. And I thought, why do I have to do all this? Well, you know, I write 4 a week now. So apparently they're onto something. But anyway, yeah, you just had to write numerous papers. But what was interesting is you had to cite sources. Where'd you get this information? And they would check your sources to make sure they were legitimate sources, because as you know, anyone can make a website today and put any kind of thing on there that they want. And so you can't have just anything be your source. It was important, not just the information you're presenting in your paper, but where did it come from? Well, these false teachers look back and John's saying, listen, there's a spirit behind the teaching. What's the source? What's the motive? Where are they getting the information? See, true Bible teaching will come from the Holy Spirit. And false teaching will come from what John is calling the spirit of Antichrist. And I know it's not popular today. It's not we live in a society that likes to talk. I just say they preach tolerance. They like to talk about tolerance. But you understand the tolerance is only tolerance of their stuff. Right? If you ever say anything, they don't want to tolerate you. It's a weird thing that they can say tolerance and not live it at the same time, but that's kind of where we are. But the idea is that everyone gets really uncomfortable when you say, hey, that church over there, and I don't even know if there's a church over there, but you understand what I'm saying? That church over there, they're preaching a false doctrine. You know, it's time that we identify churches that are preaching a false doctrine. Someone comes into the church and maybe they're looking for a church or something. It's okay to say, yeah, our church, we preach the Bible. That church over there doesn't. It's okay. It's really okay. Well, won't you hurt people's feelings that way? You might. But is it better to hold their hands all the way to hell? I mean, think about it. You don't tell someone the truth of the sort of the false doctrine, the false gospel that they're getting. You're not loving them. See, to hold a position of truth is actually not a place of unloving. It's actually unloving to let someone go to hell when you're holding the answer. And here's the truth of the matter. The answer is, the gospel is very intolerant. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That just means this. There's one single way to get to heaven. It's explained in the gospel, and it's through Jesus Christ, and all other ways lead somewhere else. That's pretty intolerant. There is no other way. Pretty narrow-minded. I was told by one preacher, yeah, I'm about this narrow-minded. What is that, like an inch and a quarter? That's how narrow-minded I am. So if we're going to be Bible believers, then you got to have some truth. If Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," and someone else preaches something else, they can't both be right. It's just that simple. It's either that Jesus is lying and he's not the way, the truth, and the life, or it's that this person is lying and their way is not the way. It can't be both. And so you can't just, you know, kumbaya your way through life, holding hands with everyone that disagrees with you, and listen, we're all just going to love each other. The problem is, the second that you die and go into eternity, all that's gone, and all that you'll be met with is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to try the spirits. And if we are accused of being narrow-minded or intolerant, so be it. If it seems rude to point out that another church somewhere or another preacher somewhere is preaching a false gospel, then so be it. There are times that someone comes to me and they mention someone by name. Honestly, most of the time I have no idea who it is, just because I don't spend a whole lot of time in those worlds. But they'll mention someone by name and, have you heard of this? And there's been a time or two I'll just say, let me stop you. That guy's a false teacher. You need to stop listening to him. He believes in this, that, or the other, whatever it is. And I'll explain that to him. And you wouldn't believe how mad people can get about that, because you offended their teacher. You offended their teacher. And I mean, they like him on Facebook, but their teacher offends my Savior. Their teacher preaches something that is different from what is in the Scriptures. And John says it's the spirit of Antichrist behind it. I'm just telling you, we got to be discerning. And he gives us some tests. Verse 2 and 3, we got to be discerning relating to the deity of Christ. So he gives us some help. And again, we've already gone through this in chapter 2, so I think you probably already know a lot of where we're going. If you have the Bible and the Holy Spirit, you're doing really well. But there's another test that he gives us in verse 2 and 3. It's the test of the deity of Christ. He says a false spirit isn't going to confess that Jesus is God. A true spirit will. The deity of Christ is necessary for salvation. Someone, let me be clear, someone cannot be saved if they don't believe Jesus is God. Because it was God that had to die. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The deity of Christ, someone has to confess and believe Jesus is God. That's the only way his sacrifice matters, the deity of Christ. So what does the teacher affirm about the Lord Jesus Christ? I notice a lot of the false teachers today avoid talking about him altogether. When those folks come and knock on your door, just ask them, who's Jesus? And when they say, well, he was the first creation of God, say, don't say Godspeed. John says, don't even say that. Just shut the door. Because Jesus was not a creation of God. He is God. When they tell you that, like the Mormons do, that and they believe in, I guess, many gods, Jesus is the created brother of Lucifer, say, see you later. That's a false teacher. That's a false church. You'll never hear these religions accept Jesus as God. You'll never hear Muslims accept Jesus as divine Son of God. On the side of the Dome of the Rock there in Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount, inscribed in Arabic are the words, God has no son. How are we going to hold hands with those folks? You know what they need? They need the truth of the gospel. It's not that Jesus doesn't love them and that we don't love them and we don't want them to be saved, but if they die believing what they're believing, they're not going to be in heaven with us someday. We don't just all get there our own way. It's a false religion, a religion that teaches some other way of salvation other than Jesus. And we could take it a step further. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So everything that is Christ is His Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So our standard is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. His Word is true. His way is true. He is supreme in all things, and He is deserving of worship. That means if I take Jesus as God, then I take this book as God's Word. I can't believe in Jesus. This gets me. I can't believe in Jesus and yet deny His teachings. And our world has got a very skewed view of who Jesus was, by the way. Seen any commercials lately? They have a very, very skewed view of who Jesus was. They They preach him as this tolerant man who just went around and kind of sheepishly loved on every sinner, never demanding any change in their lives. That's not in the Bible. Not in the Bible at all. So we can't believe in Jesus and then deny the teachings of God. And it's like, okay, here we go again, preacher. Here we go again. If it's not Bible, it's false. Call it false. If it's not, if it doesn't affirm that Jesus Christ is God and the Savior, it's false. I'm sorry. If it's one of these things that, well, you've got to work for it, then it's false. If it's one of these things that a certain religion is touting something that you know, if you got to do it our way and you got to add to some of the things that Jesus did, listen, it's false. And why do we get so upset? Because millions and millions and millions of people are dying and going to hell because they're believing that nonsense. And Jesus alone is the answer. But I'll tell you this, church, to spot a counterfeit, you got to know the real thing. You got to know this book. There should be, you should have a relationship with the Lord and a love and a knowledge of the Bible as such that when you hear false teaching, I mean, there should be alarm bells going off everywhere. There should be something in you that says, no, this isn't right. And maybe it even is that you can't put your finger on the verse or the text or the chapter or anything like that, but you just know this is not lining up with Scripture because the Holy Spirit inside of me, the unction that drives you and that is in you and lives in you, He's saying this isn't right, and you know that it's not lining up with the Word, then here's the deal. It's false. It's not that I can't love a person who thinks differently than me. I can. I'm actually commanded to. But I'm not loving them if I let them go on in their false belief. So John's like, we got to draw a line at truth. We've got to be discerning people. We can't go through this world and this life just bombarded with all this false doctrine and just think, well, anything that pretty much calls itself good is probably Christian. But that's, I mean, and I know you're looking at me crazy because it's Central Baptist Church, 2 p.m., you're all here, you're fighting through the afternoon nap, you're good soldiers for the Lord, I get that, but I'm just telling you, a lot of churches that call themselves Christian these days are preaching absolutely nothing, or they're preaching absolutely everything. And both are bad. What I mean is, they're not standing on any truth whatsoever. Listen, we could fill a building up. I could fill a building up by next Sunday. I'd have to cave on 92% of the Bible, but I could do it. I could get people here, and we could go wall to wall. We could build a big old gymnasium, which nothing wrong with gymnasiums, by the way. We could expand the back wall next week. We could do that. We could get people here. But is that our goal? I mean, sure, I want to see our church grow and I wouldn't mind expanding and doing all those things, but we're going to do it the way the Bible says, one sinner at a time, getting reconciled to the God that they have sinned against. That's it. There's a pressure from the world to just get along. But notice in verse 5 and 6, and I called the verse 4 through 6 sort of having confidence amidst chaos, because there's a chaotic situation found in verses 4 through 6. There's truth being preached. John's writing this epistle, that's part of it, but there's also falsehood being presented, and the audience is just sort of taking it all in. And so how do we have confidence in the midst of that chaos? We need to understand something. The world preaches its gospel, okay, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world has a gospel they're preaching. It's not the same as the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they're preaching it. And listen, there's people believing it, right? The world heareth them. That's what it says. So the world's preaching its gospel. They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. It never feels good to not be in the majority. Actually, it's feeling better and better to me all the time. But I know that the pressure when the whole world is seemingly okay with the falsehood and they're okay with the, you know, not hearing the truth, not seeing whatever, They're okay with that. Sometimes it does. You just feel strange being on the outside of that. But there's a thing that he's saying in verse 5 and 6 is that the world hears the world's message and the world likes the world's message and they're all okay with it. But notice verse 6, we are of God. He knoweth God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You know why you're here at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon? Because you know God. And you can hear the message of God and you can understand and take in and be glad about the message that is from God. But notice this, he that is not of God heareth not us. Let me just say this, it would be a problem if I preached the message and everyone in our town was like, that was great. Because everyone in our town is not of God. Now, don't misunderstand, if I preach a message and everyone in our town, that you know, like Nineveh, were to get saved and turn to God, that'd be one thing. But what I'm telling you is that when truth is preached, there's always two crowds. There's those that are of God and those that aren't of God. And those that are of God get it and receive it. Those that aren't, they don't like it. And that's what John's saying. They have their own preacher in the world. And they speak of the world and the world heareth them. And he says this, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here's how we know. You preach the truth, you're going to find those that know God and those that don't. You're going to find those that will be okay with the truth and submit to the truth and love the truth, and you're going to find those that reject the truth. And so he says, this is an indication. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Are they heeding the message of the world or of the word? Here's what I want to encourage you with, and this is why I call this confidence through discernment. Here's what the Bible says. Well, actually, look back in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you notice something about verse 4? It's past tense. You have overcome them. What I'm telling you this afternoon, if you're saved, you have already overcome the false teaching. You've already submitted to the truth, because you can't be saved without submitting to the truth. So if you're saved, you've already overcome the false teaching. And now he says, greater is he that is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, the world has a preacher, and the world has a way, and the world has a crowd, and there's a pressure from the world, and there's a lifestyle and a society of the world, and you're never going to fit in, and it's going to feel strange at times, but listen, you've already overcome the world because you've already believed the truth. And he that is in you is greater. It may not seem like it at times. It may seem like the pressure from the world is greater, but he that is in you is greater. Here's what the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in, not the world, in heaven. The world's going to mock us. I mean, they think we're crazy. We give up our Sunday, our Wednesday night. We're going to be up here at VBS all week, literally making fools out of ourselves. At least one of us is. And they think, those crazy people. But God's word is settled in heaven. I'll be judged by his word. I won't. None of these people in this world are going to be standing before me at my judgment. You realize that? None of them are going to be there. They all got their own judgment to worry about. None of them are going to be there. There's not going to be any mocking that day. It says that we're going to be judged by the things in the word of God. And his word is settled in heaven. So we may be closed-minded or intolerant or, I don't know, at odds with the world. Sounds like a word like enmity or enemy of the world. We're on the winning side. Colossians 2:15, Jesus, about Jesus and having spoiled principalities and powers. That means he's already conquered them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world. If you're in Christ, you've already overcome the world. The question is, are you leaning into the truth? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit that is in you to fight the spiritual battle that's out there? To have discernment, that when you hear something, when you're taught something, when you read someone's blog or you listen to some a teacher online or you're in a church somewhere and you hear someone preach, can you determine truth from error? John says, you better be able to, because there's antichrist in the world. There's a spirit of antichrist. There's a spirit that's preaching another gospel. And there's fewer and fewer and fewer people who are willing to just stand on the truth. And I believe, based upon what the scriptures tell us, the longer the Lord tarries, the longer we're here, there'll be fewer and fewer and fewer people just standing on the truth with some sort of spiritual discernment. You know what can happen in a church, and it can happen fast. If we don't mind the truth, and we don't watch out what we're teaching, what we're allowing to be taught, even, you know, when someone comes in and joins the church, I try to talk to them about what our church believes and let them know right up front, like, this is our book, we're not changing this, we're not changing anything in it. Because if we go for, and please don't misunderstand. Please don't misunderstand. Let me confess something to you. This auditorium will seat 160 people. How do I know that? Because I have come in here and counted. Because I've thought, one of these days, we're going to need a bigger auditorium. Look, I'm just telling you, I'm okay with that. I'm not against church growth. I'm not against filling up the pews. Now, we could go 200 if you people would sit a little closer. But the way we do it now, it's 160. And so I started, 160 is good. And so I really, just the dream of a preacher, I was thinking, well, do we go this way? Do we go that way? Do we go that way? Like, I'm okay. I'm okay with bringing in people. And I love when people are saved and baptized and join the church. But I'm okay with it being slow and letting people grow and letting people learn the truth of God's word, because I'm just telling you, and there's no problems. There's nothing I'm worried about. But if we just let anybody and everybody come in and we shake their hand and say, oh, yeah, they're joining today. Oh, and they're joining today. And they're joining today. And there's never any truth being taught. There's never any discipleship. We will wake up one day and we will not be the same church. And we will not be holding the same doctrines. And we'll be fighting things that we should have never been fighting, because we should have made clear right from the get-go, this is who we are, this is what we believe, and we're just not going to change. And when you do it that way, it's going to be slow. It's going to be slower. And I'm okay with that. That'll give us more time to save up. So, forgive us, but we got to be discerning. And God's given us the tools to do it. Many Christians are led astray just simply because they're so far from the Lord. They wouldn't know truth from error. They're so out of touch with the Holy Ghost that they've ignored Him in their own personal life for so long that they wouldn't know truth for error, even have had bright light shining on it. And John's saying, little children, hear this. And this is the second time he's dealt with this in this little book. Be careful of all the teaching and preaching. Be careful. Try the spirits. Believe not every spirit. Hold fast. As Jude said, endeavor for the faith. Work for it. Keep the truth. I'll tell you this. I say this a lot, and I'll be done. I say a lot. I actually ask the Lord quite often, Lord, why did you make me a pastor? Because I don't know what I'm doing. Aren't y'all, doesn't that make you feel comfortable? It's called confidence here, folks. No, I really don't. This is all I have. This is it. There's no like bank of knowledge somewhere. There's no pastoral experience. This is what I have. This is all I have. This is all the, you come to me for advice, we're going here. because this is all I've got. I don't have a degree in psychology. I don't know everything about world history and world religions. I just have the Bible. But as I look at it in the scriptures and in the early church, this is all they ever had and this is all they ever needed. The problem is, we have this, but do we know it? Do we know it where we can defend it? Where we can say, oh, no, no, that's false. Let me show you a scripture. I've dealt with people since I've been here where I've taken them to a scripture and said, this is why we believe this, and we read the scripture together. After that's done, take it or leave it. Right? If you don't believe it, that's fine. The door works both ways. We've got to be discerning people that stand on the truth. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word, that you haven't left us without instruction or a guide. And Father, forgive me for saying that the Bible is all I have. Lord, it's everything. But Lord, help us not to try to include everything else the world wants us to include. Just help us to be simple enough people just to know your word and do it. We pray that you would protect our church from false teaching and false doctrine. Lord, all those things that they seem harmless, but Lord, there's a spirit behind them that wants to destroy your work. Lord, just I pray for your protection over our church in this matter. Lord, that we could look back years and years from now and we could say that we've stayed on the right track. Father, help us as we teach our children and disciple new believers. Lord, so that next generation that will be here at Central Baptist Church will also hold to the truth of your word, not veer from it. Lord, give us the strength to do this. Help us to be confident in our position. Lord, even if we're the only ones standing, we just pray we'd be confident in your word. You've given us your word and your spirit for that very purpose. Lord, we thank you for all things. We pray you dismiss us this afternoon. Help us, Lord, to have a great afternoon. And Lord, we again look forward to VBS. We pray that you would bless it. And Lord, that you would just meet with us throughout the week. Thank you for it all. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.